Mics are live.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is a special meeting to discuss Otter Tail Power Company bill format. I'm Commissioner Brian Crashus. It's Wednesday, February 19th, 2020, 2:40 p.m. I'm joined by Commissioner Julie Fedorchek, Commissioner Randy Christman, and why don't we just quickly go around the table, and then we can jump right in.
Victor Shookle, staff.
Stacey Ebrill, staff.
Michelle Gunderson, Otter Tail Power.
Jessica Fury, Otter Tail Power.
And not to assume, but no opening comments?
No.
No.
Okay. Whoever wants to lead the discussion.
All right. I'll go ahead. I'm Jessica Fury with Otter Tail Power Company, Supervisor of Regulatory Proceedings. So my team is the one that's responsible for compiling all of the filings together, submitting them to you guys, as well as Tariff Administration, which is making sure that the rates that we have in our rate book are actually what are being charged to our customers and the associated bill presentment. So Michelle is our tariff admin person, and I will hand it over to her to walk through the examples here that we have and provide some background of why we're here.
Okay, thank you. So what we're looking for today, currently on the first handout that you received, with the two images, the bottom part of that, the little picture on there, that's currently what is on our billing statement. And what we're looking to do is wanting to move the energy adjustment over under the meter detail so that the customers can see which portion of that is going towards each meter. And as you can see on that one, it's labeled as energy and renewable adjustment on that line. What that means.
Which lines are you talking about here? This one?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
The one
that's
1,100.
Yep, to where the red is.
We're breaking it out.
We're breaking it out per meter.
So today, the line that says energy and renewable adjustment includes fuel and purchase power, renewable rider, transmission rider, and
generation.
Mm-hmm. Environmental.
Yes.
No, yes.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Environmental.
Okay, environmental has been taken out. But
hold on, I'm writing these down.
Okay.
Fuel and purchase
right here.
Oh.
Transmission, renewable generation, and then your fuel or your energy adjustment.
It basically kind of rolled all of the riders other than that environmental one into one line. And that was confusing for customers. I know Stacy got quite a few calls on it. Not really understanding.
You still do. And the reason for that is in our last rate case when we were when we requested and were ordered to pull the base cost of fuel out of our base energy rates and put it into the fuel clause, that made that look like it was jumping up, but it really was moving it from this side of the bill to that side of the bill. And so that's where, so we want to bring it back over underneath the meter detail so that it look, because it's 2 cents that came off of, you know, the base
okay.
energy.
So, do we need this sheet? Is this just all in one?
It is, but it got cut off on the right side there.
So
I see.
This
yep.
portion
okay.
right here got cut
I
off
see.
On that
all
top
right.
one.
So this is this and this. Okay.
Yep. Go ahead. Okay, so when we were talking with Victor on the what he thought we should be looking forward to doing, once we remove the energy adjustment from that last column under onto columns 1 and 2, that line would just say renewable adjustment, but instead it has a transmission rider, generation rider, and renewable rider. And his thought was that you guys would like to see that broken out individually.
It wasn't an accurate representation for it to just say renewable adjustment because it's more than just the renewable adjustment in there. And so our proposed change to be more transparent would be on your horizontal sheet, transmission rider, renewable rider, generation rider. The reason that the energy adjustment is listed here is because there's outdoor lighting on this account. So they have 2 meters plus some lighting. And so the way we bill our lighting, it goes into the other charges. And so that's why. So if this account did not have a light, these first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 rows wouldn't be on there. It would just underneath the other charges, it would say transmission, renewable generation, and then anything associated with the energy fuel clause would be under the meter detail to kind of bring that back into how customers had seen it once upon a time. However, with the conversation we just had on the renewable rider, this $2.96 credit that's being shown mm-hmm. right now in the renewable rider in red on your horizontal piece is going to go up to $4 to $8, you know, where before when it was all in one line item, like the little square, the little square down here, you know, some of that fluctuation got buried or absorbed in there. Now it's going to bring it to light. So I would anticipate, Stacy, some more phone calls mm-hmm. as that changes.
Yeah, because people before thought that they were paying for renewables in that line because it said renewable when actually they weren't. Mm-hmm. But they didn't understand that. But they actually will be. At least they'll be complaining about the right thing. But yeah, you weren't able to see.
But they won't think that they're paying almost $100 in transmission and generation riders for renewable. Right. They'll see what they're paying for. So.
Yep.
I like this. The only part that I'm thinking about and wondering about is the energy adjustment in all three columns and how confusing or understandable is that for customers. So how do... So this is per meter?
Yep. So this first column is a meter. That's your general service. Secondary.
So this is a business?
Yeah. What did you say?
It's a school.
Oh, it's a school.
So this one's probably more common.
One person, it would only be one meter.
More than likely, unless you... I'm sorry. Unless they have a controlled service of some type, then they would have the two lines here, or the two columns.
What would the control... Give me an example.
Like a small dual fuel or controlled water heating.
They're used to seeing them separate.
They are.
I think they would understand that the energy adjustment applies to that meter. Like, energy adjustment doesn't make sense. I mean, as a, like, average Joe, that doesn't make mm-hmm. sense to me, mm-hmm. that term.
What term do other companies use, Victor? Do they use
fuel
costs?
So, MDU, and that's why I handed out those examples. So, MDU uses fuel and purchase power, and Excel does... Fuel cost charge.
I would say fuel cost seems to.
I think fuel cost charge makes the most sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Versus energy adjustment.
Yeah.
That doesn't.
Yeah, I don't know what you're adjusting from or to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's FCA, it's the fuel clause adjustment, right? Is that the title or is it?
That's where that comes from.
Let's not repeat it.
I think on all of them, that's where the language came from. I mean, I know they're called fuel and purchase power riders for the other utilities. So,
an attorney must have written that.
We'll blame Bruce.
I resemble that.
Yeah, nothing to do with it.
I see your energy rates are lower than MDU's.
Well, this is a large general service user versus a residential MDU user, so that would change the rates.
See, I propped him up and he just
Knock him down.
Right? Thanks, Victor. So what I guess what one of the things that we're looking for, the reason to kind of bring this to your attention is obviously to have the conversation we've had, but our, you know, energy adjustment, I'm hearing that we would like to see that more as a fuel cost charge, fuel cost. And then are we okay with the transmission rider, renewable rider, generation rider labeling over on the bar? I mean, that is what mm-hmm. they are.
I think so.
Did you put these in red for us so we...
Yes.
On their bills, it's
right,
black.
Right, it's not going to be red. I was blended. When I sent it to Victor, I just wanted him to see where the changes were.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So consider it a red line.
And what happened to environmental rider? where is the Big Stone improvements being charged through?
Those are in base.
That rolled into base rates in our last rate case. So that went to zero. Environmental backup went to zero.
Okay, that's right.
And that was its own line.
Yep, I remember that. Okay, I'm comfortable with that. I like the changing of the energy adjustment and moving the breaking out the three riders.
Okay. And you're okay with us keeping the fuel costs under the meter detail rather than putting it lump summing over here?
I would. So my thought on that is I think it makes most sense to break it out like this because different meters could have different rates.
Exactly.
for their energy.
They do.
Mm-hmm. And so lumping them together could be even more confusing. Mm-hmm. If you have to break it back out. So I personally like this. And it gets to be a lot of detail underneath each meter, but mm-hmm. I think to make sure you're showing those different rates for the different.
Yeah. More clear. It might be more confusing, but if people call, it's pretty easy to explain.
Right.
A lot easier now than what it is.
Do you have purchase power? Yeah. So should it say fuel and purchase power? Or just fuel cost?
It can say whatever we want.
That is where you run your purchase power.
Yes. I'm looking at MDU's bill, not that it has to be like that. They have fuel and purchase power.
I don't object to that. It is a distinction.
It is more clear. I wouldn't, like, to me as a customer, if I wasn't doing this job, I'd think, what are they purchasing power from? Aren't they a power company? So I think it might beg questions from that standpoint. But
yes.
It would probably raise a few more questions, but it is more accurately defined and represented that way.
Sure. It is something that we had to go over a lot last spring when you guys were purchasing power because of a shutdown at a very high price.
Yep.
And that was one of the big reasons for that spike we saw last year.
Sure.
So we did do a lot of explaining.
That might be a good reason to do it because otherwise people are like, I thought gas is so cheap. What's this power cost? What's this fuel? Mm-hmm.
I haven't thought this out very well, so maybe I'll regret throwing it out there, but maybe it should just be the generation cost should be the label of it.
What's that, Randy?
Maybe it should just be the generation cost. So you got your generation cost under your meter. Those are built into rates, and then the generation rider for the new stuff. And whether you're generating it yourself or buying someone else's generation, it's the cost of generating power to use for those customers.
To take that one step further, it's really the cost of the energy.
Circle
back to energy adjustment. But
I think fuel is more clear to folks. I think they can get that they have this rate and then they have to pay for fuel on top of it. When you separate it out like this, otherwise,
you know, I'm okay with fuel or energy, but I think now the biggest thing is it should just be cost instead of adjustment, whichever one we use.
Yeah, fuel cost. Are you opposed to purchase power, fuel and purchase power cost?
No, I'm not opposed to that either.
Yeah, I like that.
Fuel and purchase power cost.
We'll try to get that on that line.
Well, and I suppose if it says fuel and purchase power, then maybe costs aren't.
Doesn't need to be on
there. The word doesn't have to be on there.
Yeah, just say fuel and purchase power.
Yeah,
I don't know if we have enough room for cost.
To me, that's perfect. Fuel and purchase power.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm fine with that.
Could you explain the prorating to me again? Because I know this was explained to me before, but that is one other thing that people. Why are they prorating? What does that mean? And why don't I just pay what I'm actually needing to pay?
Yep.
At the bottom, you'll see the asterisk. Indicates prorated billing.
So what happens is our new customer information billing system bills on basically a per day basis. And so if your read dates here are January 8th to February 5th, that's 28 days. And so your customer charge, we're prorating that so that we're not overcharging or undercharging your customer charge. any of your fixed costs there. And in this one, it's your customer charge. In the second meter, it's your customer and your facilities. So any fixed price there. So I wonder if this one isn't 35. I don't know off the top of my head what the 30-day customer charge is, you know, what the actual customer charge on the tariff sheet is. But it's taking, well, it must be $31.90 times 12 months divided by 365 days. That's our proration piece. So that gets you to a per day. And then there's 28 days in that billing period, your reading period. And so that's how we get the $29.37. And so since that $29.37 is different than your stated $31.90 in your tariff sheet, we felt we needed to provide that example. And that is functionality that we could not override in our new billing system. So as a result of taking a customer information system off the shelf, basically with minimal
modifications.
Thank you. That was a result. And it really does make it a more accurate bill for the customer.
Couldn't you just say, that's a very thorough and technical description, but couldn't you just say that customers are billed on a per day basis and be done with it?
We could, maybe, but all of our tariffs.
The tariff says monthly.
Monthly, so we
so
would have to make
MDU's tariff.
Monthly on a per day basis, period.
That's confusing.
It's just the term prorating. Nobody understands it, and they think that you're,
gouging them?
Yeah, like rounding something up or whatever. They always say, I just want to pay what I used.
Yep.
And I'm like,
and that's what we're trying
right,
to do.
But they don't.
They wouldn't expect to see it.
Yeah.
Could we just have the asterisk and just say how many days it got billed for? I mean, I know it says it in the small print up there, but if down where that says indicates prorated billing, to me, if it just said 28 days, then they'd know.
Right.
And by the way, and before you answer that, mm-hmm. with the new billing system, because I just worked with Stacy on through a case where someone was upset, and I don't think it was the main reason for his being upset, but one of the things was he had like 36 or 38 days that month compared to mm-hmm. 24 or something the months before. Mm-hmm. Now, are you doing electronic billing now as opposed to individuals? Checking them
how that is impacted is when we actually physically go out and read the meter. That's what's
so you still have to go out so physically
read
your
meters. Physically, and that's what varies those days in your billing cycle. So versus your 24 days versus your 36 days is depending, you know, maybe that service rep was on vacation and the fill-in rep couldn't get there, or there was a snowstorm, or there was an outage and we had to delay, or, you know.
I was thinking you were moving toward electronic billing.
Like an AMI type reading. System, AMI, where you push the button at the office and it reads all the meters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you're not doing that.
I am not authorized to speak on that. You know what? I think it's being explored, but where it's at and, you know, and cost benefit and whatnot there, that would make it a little more accurate to a 30-day. Mm-hmm. What's that? Thanks.
And this is being recorded, so that was a great answer.
I just think that's... Yeah,
this is
that's
a message that I don't know that we can really alter too much. That is something that we have in all three of our states on our bill there. And so if we were to make changes to that, we would need to make filings in our other jurisdictions to make those changes, because we do have to get their approval on our bills before we can make changes to our bills in South Dakota and Minnesota both.
Maybe Michelle could get a Sharpie and just block that out on the bills before you put them in the mail.
on you know, the thousands and thousands of bills go out.
Or,
thank you.
Great idea. But if she doesn't want to do that, her Sharpie runs dry. What if under customer charge, do you have to do that 31.9 times 12 divided by 65 days? Could you just say in parentheses the number of days there, figured, calculated times X days, and change that, and then you could leave all that, you know, technical language down below.
I don't know, Stacy, what are your thoughts on, is that...
So I like Brandy's idea of just getting to how many days you're being charged so they get that.
It does vary a lot, and that is one thing that comes into play with the complaints, because oftentimes they don't even notice that. And when you point it out, oh, well, look, this bill was 35 days and your last one was only 24, they're like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So I think making that more evident could be helpful.
And that's something we would have to, are we able to make that state-by-state change?
That we would have to just double-check on and see if that's, because it's in all three states, so.
Which one?
This parenthesis, the proration.
Well, I think that would be an improvement. Do you guys, each customer could have a different number of days billed because their meters are red? Okay.
Yep. And we try, I mean, the goal obviously is to try and get it as close to 30 days every month as we can, but, you know, you get holidays and, sure. You know, sometimes those November and December bills get a little and then making up for lost time and
right. Yeah, I can understand that when you have people physically reading them.
I think the toughest month is January. If it extends to a 33 or 34 day, you know, worst time of the year.
Right.
Actually, February.
Outside of maybe July might be with air conditioning.
Right. February gets to be a little ugly because our energy adjustment has a 2-month lag, so it's really the December fuel costs and purchase power costs that are represented on the February bill, and that's right when we're getting into winter, so that, you know, your February and March bills are kind of your, that's where you see some stuff with the energy.
People think they've already gone through the worst.
Right. Right, and there's that 2-month lag on those fuel and purchase power costs that sneak in there. So are you thinking in this line item here that has the equation with the parentheses and stuff, just changing that to number of days in the bills, like 28 days for this?
Yeah, billing period 28 days or whatever.
Okay. Just to make that billing period stick out more.
And maybe that's something we can put somewhere else on the bill and leave that equation alone to, you know, make it a little more.
Well, then, yeah.
28.
Would you put it down where the
prorated under
billing?
Proration, maybe. Although there's other, you know, if you have an meter exchange or
adjusted
bill stuff goes, you know, it looks blank here, but it's blank because it's saving space for if something else triggered, you know, so if you have an adjusted bill, it's going to have a P and an A and whatnot there. So, but we will definitely take these thoughts back to our design team and to our billing system and see where we go. We appreciate
Yeah, and I hope we're not overly complicating.
Well, and
if given my druthers, we'd still go back to charging the same amount every month. Just be like,
I know, I wish we could do that. I do. Or going and just changing our tariffs to, and that's maybe something to consider down the road, you know, changing our tariffs on some of these charges to a daily charge rather than a monthly charge.
No, I think you're moving that. I'm talking about your monthly bill charge. Your
Your $31.90. It should be $31.90, no matter if you have 28 days or 36.
Yeah, regardless when it got read. And
right. I don't know if there's some rule and statute on some of that stuff.
No, we don't really have any rules for that. So, MDU has a daily rate that we set rather than a monthly rate. So they just bill however many days.
Yep.
That was in your billing period. NSP has a monthly rate, and I think they do closer to what Commissioner Christman is saying, where they just bill, this is how much it is this month, period.
And that's what we used to do in our old billing or legacy billing system. Unless it was less than 25 days or greater than 36 days, then we did do some proration at that point if it was outside of
sure.
that.
Sure. I know from during rate cases, what one of staff's concerns is, is setting that monthly rate with no parameters around it, you could theoretically game it a little bit and get 13 bills out of your customers in a year.
Yeah. And I'm not saying I have a good idea here either. It's not like been explored.
Okay. Well, we will take this information back in once the once we get the information back from our design team, we'll run it by Victor and then we can look for an informational filing on that. Again, no.
How long would it take to get it
implemented?
Could it be on April 1st?
No. With having to configure it into the system and then along with testing it to make sure it looks like we want it to, we have to go ahead and let them know what we want it to look like, and then they go ahead and configure it. So we're looking maybe at end of quarter one or beginning of quarter two?
I would say the other way around.
The other way around.
Quarter two,
beginning of quarter three.
Before it would be, yeah, because what happens is we've got to put our design requirements. So once we kind of come to an agreement of what this is going to look like, now we've got to tell our design team what we want it to do. They've got to get it in their queue. So if you request something in Q1, they guarantee that it'll be delivered by end of Q2.
They work in your company?
They are.
Or they are contractors.
It's an external. Yep.
Well, we should try to get it in as soon as possible.
Yes.
So let's.
Yep.
We don't need a whole lot of review time on our end if you guys can whip this up and get it back.
I don't think we don't need to approve officially.
You don't have to approve anything. Nope. We just want to, we'll come back before we do our informational filing, just run by you,
sure.
You, Victor, what we've got, and you can decide what you want to do with that. But then we'll have correspondence back and forth with you, and then we'll get an informational filing out within a day or two of that. So
yeah, I can distribute it out to the commissioners right away and get your feedback.
And then when we've got that, then that'll be our design requirements for our building system. So.
Can I ask one more question while I have him here? So I did have a case also recently dealing with a balanced billing that the gentleman was, amount that he was paying, he was falling behind every single month for like the whole year last year. And so now he's being adjusted over $100 a month. Did anything change with the new billing system that is letting these customers slide longer? Or how do you guys review those balanced billing customers to catch them earlier,
there
maybe?
there should be a review process for those where it alerts us, letting us know that.
Okay.
So that seems kind of odd to me. But.
I'm hoping it was an anomaly. Otherwise, I'm going to be hearing a lot more.
Yeah, right.
I do think that we used to review them more regularly, and I think that on a more of a manual basis, where I think that the review with the new billing system
it's the seventh month.
It has been less times per year, but it is an automated process rather than multiple times per year and a manual process. So I have more confidence in the once a year automated than touching it multiple times. Mm-hmm. If I'm a CSR and I get this paper report, well, what if I don't have time and now I mm-hmm. set that aside? You know, where when it's automatically happening within the system, that review is happening programmatically rather than with a set of eyes. So,
but once a year seems insufficient to me. If that person's pretty far behind,
right.
By the time that gets caught after 12 months, then they're so far behind.
We can double check what the even monthly payment review time is. And we can respond to you in an email.
Yeah, that would be helpful, just so I know if there's not a bunch more coming, too.
Right.
Because, yeah, it was very evident he was falling behind for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And
so he was getting charged $56 a month, where his bills were actually $75 a month or $125.
Yeah, and then when he was just reviewed, he was actually in the deficit, like $800-some dollars. Yeah, and so then to reverse that, his bill went up significantly now on his balance billing. And, of course, he wasn't very happy about it.
I think he was paying like $150 a month.
It more than doubled. It more than doubled, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, we'll look at that review process and
come
back.
Thank you.
Okay, anything else? Anyone? Thank you very much for the discussion. Safe travels back.
This will be good improvement.
Great.